Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're in the middle of a sermon series that is looking at the perseverance of Paul. And every week I sit down and I study these scriptures, and I have to be honest, I feel a little bit worse about myself every week as I read about the perseverance of Paul. It's so great y'all are back, by the way. Last week I turned around to preach to the choir and it was empty. We're glad y'all are back. Y'all are sounding good. But I look at all that Paul endured, the passion with which he shared the gospel, the depth of his theology, and the endurance with which he lived his life. You know, two-thirds of the New Testament is attributed to Paul. Much of what we believe, much of what we, the way we talk about our faith, comes from Paul. As I'm reading and studying all of this, I look back at my faith journey, and I frankly am embarrassed at how little my faith journey has cost me. We worship in relative freedom, without fear for the most part. In our country, we have seen people that have been killed for espousing the things they believe. Martin Luther King, Charlie Kirk most recently. But for the most part, these people are in the public, and we as private citizens have the ability to worship freely and without fear. Being a follower of Jesus costs us very little. That's not true of the Apostle Paul. Paul was spreading the word all over the civilized world. He made it to the end of the civilized world at that time, which was Spain. He made it there and preached the gospel. Paul had established the church in Corinth. You know, he traveled by foot, he traveled by donkey, and he traveled by ship. He's established this church in Corinth, and he's excited about it, and this church is doing well. And the book of 1 Corinthians is sort of a corrective letter to this church at Corinth that he started. Because when they heard that they were saved and that they were forgiven, they got really excited and decided what they did in this life didn't matter. And Paul sent them a letter going, whoa. There's a response that happens to us when we accept faith in Christ, when we accept this gift of salvation. And then a group of Jewish people have come behind Paul, and that's what 2 Corinthians is about. This group of people have come behind Paul, and they're called Judaizers. And they're coming behind Paul, and they're saying, oh, yes, Christ is the answer, but there's a whole lot of other things that you have to do if you truly want to be saved. They're telling this church at Corinth that if you want to be saved, you have to become Jewish. You have to be circumcised. You have to follow the law. The Judaizers are claiming that faith in Christ alone is not enough. And so Paul writes to his church at Corinth in response to these Judaizers who have come behind him and taught them a different sort of gospel. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 28. What I am saying in regard to this boastful confidence, I am saying not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to human standards, I will also boast. For you gladly put up with fools, being wise yourselves. For you put up with it when someone makes slaves of you or preys upon you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or gives you a slap in the face. To my shame, I must say, we are too weak for that. But whatever anyone dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I am a better one, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings and often near death. 5 times I have received the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. Besides these other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. This is the word of God for the people of God. Perhaps you heard it in my voice, but sometimes when you read Paul, you need to get the tone right. Paul often uses a sardonic tone. He speaks with exaggeration in order to make his point. And he is doing that very thing here. Paul doesn't really like to boast. Paul talks about boasting, and when he boasts, he talks about the cross. He talks about the resurrected Christ. He talks about boasting in those things. The Greek word that is translated as boast is kauchumai, and it means to boast. And it's used 30 times in the epistles of Paul. And that can be, it can mean to boast, like brag, right? Like I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about my awesomeness. I'm talking about how great the things I have done. But it also can be used to like exalt, to praise, as you would talking about Jesus or talking about God. It can be used in both of those ways. And Paul talks a fair amount about boasting in his epistles. And mostly he talks about boasting in the cross. But in this particular instance, he is boasting about all that he had endured for Christ. You see, he is responding to the Corinthians about these Judaizers who had been boasting in their Jewishness, telling them, well, Paul doesn't really know. Paul's not really a Hebrew. He's not really an Israelite. He is not a son of Abraham. You see, Hebrews, while the Jewish people were scattered because of the diaspora all over the place, there were 1 million Jews in Alexandria alone. And many of them did not speak Hebrew. They had lost their tongue, their native tongue, because they are living in a Greek society. And so you had these Greek-speaking Jews who didn't know Hebrew. And these Judaizers were claiming that we are of the Israel tribes. And then they go on to say we are sons of Abraham. Paul claims to be all of these things. I am a Hebrew. I am an Israelite, and I am a son of Abraham. But are they a servant of Christ? And Paul says, I am. And then the sardonic boasting begins. Paul boasts not in the things that he has done. He's not saying, I've started your church, I've started churches all over the world. No. Paul is boasting in the suffering that has come his way as a follower of Jesus Christ. 5 times he has been whipped by the Jews, 1 lash less than 49. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was even stoned. He goes on to say, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I was adrift in the sea for 1.5 days. And then he lists all of the dangers that he runs into every single day as he walks around or is on a ship sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And then it ends with, not only do I face all of these things, but I have my own set of anxieties as I worry about the churches that I have. As I have concern in my brain and in my heart for these churches that I have started. Folks, this is what a total commitment to Christ looks like. The Apostle Paul was fully committed to sharing the gospel. He was fully committed to living it out and to sharing it with the people that were around him. Paul is boasting in the suffering that he has done for Jesus. I can't boast in my sufferings for Christ. My faith, it's cost me very little. Yeah, there are moments that God maybe asks us to do something that's kind of scary, and we're a little hesitant. We're like, okay, you want me to do this? All right, I'll try it. This is so scary. And we have those moments. But because we live where we live, our faith costs us very little. And unlike Paul, we don't get to boast in the sufferings that we have endured for the sake of Jesus the Christ. I cannot make that boast. But here's what I can boast in, and it is what Paul is speaking about when he talks, primarily when he does boast. I can boast that the God of the universe loved me so much, that he loved all of us so much, that he became one of us. That he walked amongst us as a human, whom we rejected and nailed to a cross. And because he was the God of the universe, he bore all the world's sins. We can boast that we serve a living God, that he was resurrected on that first Easter Sunday. We can boast that we serve a living God and that because he lives, we also live. We can boast that through Jesus Christ, we have been given salvation, forgiveness, and the gift of eternal life. Because he lives, I can live forever. Now that is something to boast about. That the God of the universe loves you enough to endure all of that so that you might receive salvation, so that you might be forgiven, so that you might have eternal life. That's something to boast about. So I invite you this week, as you go through your week, maybe to try and be a little more like Paul and boast about the cross. Boast about the living God that was crucified that we might be forgiven. This week, take a chance to share the good news that this salvation, that this boasting that we as followers of Jesus Christ can do, it's available to all. It's available to anyone who will follow Jesus the Christ. Take a chance. Share that good news. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful. So grateful that our faith costs us so little. Father, we ask that you would embolden us. Embolden us to share the good news that we serve a living God that offers life and forgiveness where others see death and pain. Oh God, make us bold to share that good news with those around us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.